It is indeed a blessing to come together in worship from so many different places, so many different circumstances, so many different places as we seek God together. It is a soaring and wonderful vision that Joel presents to us in this in his book. Through the promise to Israel, you shall know that I am in the midst of you and that I, the Lord, am your God and there is no other. The prophet promises a pouring forth of the very Spirit of God. And it is good to be reminded of that in these days. As we gather that no matter how compelling or challenging the day, whatever happens in this earthly realm is not the end of the story. No matter what our political realm of what makes for salvation and what the political realm may seek to tell us makes for salvation, God's promises are sure. God's strength and power are for us with hope and vision. As we continue through this stewardship season, we saw last week the grace and gratitude of that as members of this congregation shared the ways in which they have been actively giving in various areas of the congregation and their lives. We are indeed a people deeply blessed. And it is important to remember that. And so out of this lectionary hope and promise of Joel's prophecy, we will wrestle this morning with this parable in Luke's gospel. A text which leads us to contemplate what it means to be faithful, to be justified in the eyes of God, not in ourselves. Our characters in Scripture today are raw. They are real. They are honest. One with a superiority complex, and one in humility, both in the context of coming before God in very different ways. This chapter in Luke is a great chapter of Scripture, and I encourage you to go back and read it later in all of its fullness. A challenge and a grace that Jesus presents his followers that starts with the need to come before God in prayer, speaks to the power of persistent prayer, tells the disciples to come as children before God, challenges the rich young ruler to sell all and give all that he has to the poor, and also, beyond this passage this morning, the healing power rooted in faith as a blind man is healed and ready to follow and glorify God. We are at such a time in our world, in our country, where we need to be reminded of this hope, this power, this call to true righteousness. And we need to be reminded that we are called to witness it, to it with our lives in a world becoming increasingly cynical and paralyzed by fear, distrust, and discouragement. What happens then when we leave this sanctuary, this place of prayer? How do we pray in this moment, and how do we live from that prayer out into the community, out of our relationship to God? We are told that Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. It's a parable that takes head-on pride and self-righteousness and putting ourselves above any other. This is a parable for all of those who wonder if they are on the right path, and maybe also for a few of us that are convinced that we are. Before we're too hard on the Pharisee in this story, we must look at how we are living in the world. Are there places where we might be the Pharisee? Are we quietly tending to our own homes and gardens while the world around us bleeds? 2 weeks ago, there was a shooting of two teens at Billy Taylor Park, just a block and a half from our church. I may well have missed that news, which was little covered in the press, because the teens didn't die. Had it not been for our emerging connections to the Mount Hope neighborhood in some new ways, and the obvious pain I saw when I encountered one of our new friends who asked, "Can we gather to pray in the park this afternoon?" Yes, yes, we can, and we did. Pastor Siobhan, myself, other pastors, people from the neighborhood, neighbors who heard the shots but thought, oh, someone is just driving by and shooting, until they heard the sirens. We prayed, and a prayer that moved us and moves us to more determination to action together. What can we learn about ourselves if we take ourselves out of ourselves when we come to God in prayer? As we approach God with an openness to bring all that we are and to be reminded that we live in a world. We are told in this passage that the Pharisee stood and prayed standing by himself. And what follows is really not a prayer, but a testimony celebrating his religious acts. Now, I don't want to discourage anyone from tithing. It's not stewardship season. Here we are. But when we celebrate that, we miss the point. We engage in a litany of self-appreciation. The Pharisee, who had obeyed the law and moved far beyond it, but yet he had no real need for God. He came to the temple to celebrate what he had done and to bring it to God's attention in case that God had missed it. Contrast that to the approach of the tax collector. Even the scripture, the text itself, alerts us to a difference between the two men. For those who are following along in their scripture this morning in the Bible, Pharisee is capitalized and tax collector is in small letters. We forget how despised a tax collector was in that culture, and maybe ours as well. That it's a particular paradox of this parable that Jesus moves beyond his occupation. The tax collector, remember, was in the service of the Roman Empire in Palestine, the occupying force responsible for collecting taxes on produce, on transit, on the population. He was the one who stood by every gate, delaying the entry of weary travelers who all had to stop and pay their due, and often had to pay well beyond what was strictly due. Despised and ostracized by the Jewish community, these tax collectors were equated with robbers. And even so, the tax collector had power in an earthly sense. He was rich in material things, mostly through the extortion of those much less fortunate. It is thus surprising that it is a tax collector who begins his prayer by acknowledging his dependence on God. He cries, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The tax collector knows that his life depends upon God's mercy. Acknowledging that dependence is the starting point of his prayer. Such humility does not mean weakness or self-deprecation. It is not underrating his abilities, remaining undeveloped in the gifts that God has given, or hiding the powers or knowledge that he might exercise. Because God tells us over and over again in Scripture that God wants us to develop those gifts and talents, that God's glory might reign, not to hide them under a bushel or to use them only for our own means. Humility is that strength to be genuinely self-forgetful, to lay ourselves aside and our egos and move forward with a sense of God's presence in our life and in our life together, and how we seek to live that out. The tax collector in this parable sets his own life next to the life of God and realizes and knows deep down that he needs God's mercy. The Pharisee, on the other hand, wants to compare himself to those around him. He thanks God that he's not like those other people, even this tax collector. It's us and them, not us before God in community, us and them. He dismisses the likes of the tax collector by asserting his superiority, and there can be no relationship between them, no true community. So how then does our approach to God in prayer influence how we move forward in community? The Pharisee leaves the temple thinking that he has his life all together, all buttoned up and wrapped up in a nice, neat passage. Hasn't he just shared that by praying to himself? There was no encounter with God in that time, only a recitation of his accomplishments, no seeming openness to seeing what was going on around him in the community, except to celebrate his superiority. Is it a surprise then that the Pharisee might miss something of the opportunities around him to see God at work, to serve? But we read in this text that the tax collector went down to his home justified. Justified means to be brought into right relationship. It is a gift of God that opens us up and translates into right relationship, not just with God, but with others. Our activity in the community depends on these kinds of encounters with God. We don't know exactly what the tax collector does with his life because we don't read about him later in Luke. So we're left to wonder and to trust that his life has been changed, how he now relates to those around him. But that is the nature of justification, that bringing in to right relationship that spills over naturally, seamlessly into one's relationships with others, and it changes us even as we pray. Our relationship with God is not a question of how many worship services we attend, how many sermons we hear, an accounting of how many committees we have served on. The question God asks of us is, what do we make of all these? Do they bring us to know Christ better? Do they open us to the life and the needs of the community around us? The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector encourages us to seek that kind of honest and humble communion with God, and then to go out into our communities and live out that communion. That community that, as we will soon sing, is guided to justice, truth, and love, delivered from our selfish schemes. May God grant to us, each one of us here this day, the grace to be justified and transformed, that we may follow where God alone will lead us, united with brothers and sisters as a people, humbly alive with faith. Through the power of Christ, who makes it so. Amen.